Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm here with Jimmy, singing a song for Jimmy McGuinness.
The only man in Donegal, Jimmy McGuinness, up Donegal.
He comes from Gladys, man. He's winning plenty, man. He's got more medals than an Olympian China, man. We're beating Kerry, man. We're beating Derry, man. We're beating anyone we're meeting in the final, man. His destiny is not just written in the sand. He got a plan. He's no lucky, lucky man. Oh, Jimmy's winning matches.
Jimmy's winning matches.
Jimmy's winning games.
Jimmy's winning games.
Jimmy's bringing Sammy back to Donegal again.
Up Donegal!
Welcome to Free State, everybody. We are still on a little bit of a high from our Christy Moore episodes. And just want to thank Christy again for coming in and giving so much of himself. It's really, it was special to be there on the evening, and it's been kind of special just listening back to them and watching the videos again. And what an incredible man he is. And we were just so honored that he came in for, you know, and stayed for so long and brought his guitar, which was a great bonus. Joe?
Jimmy's winning matches.
You just want to talk about
Jimmy's going to be some of
our... Okay, we're going to talk...
Since the championship started. I've been going.
But I want to say, before we talk about that, I'm going to just say, because we've a lot of people who've listened because of Christy episodes, and if you want to sign up to freestatepodcast.com, you'll get information about forthcoming live shows, other things we're going to be doing in the later in the year. So sign up there. And now, Joe.
Jimmy's winning matches.
Just stop singing. You know what? I had as an earworm in my head. Was the song you sang in the first episode of the Christy podcast, and I was bouncing around of all the songs we had over those episodes to have that one stuck in my head. Now, please don't sing it again, because you were the only person during the entire 2 hours of Christy, or you were the only person who sang a complete song. Just want to point that out.
But the song makes no sense unless you sing all of it. But since the championship started, I have found myself humming, you know, outside court, when I'm watching games, you know, when I'm sitting in the kitchen, when I'm studying late at night, all I can hear is Jimmy's winning matches, Jimmy's winning games. And the glamorous brunette eventually walked out of the kitchen the other night and said, "Oh, Jesus Christ, you're driving me mad." Because he is, you know, fascinating, genuinely fascinating. I mean, you know, have you heard the one that's going around? You know, the son says to his father, "Dad, why did you call my sister Jolene?" And the father says, "You know, your mother loved the song Jolene." So I said, and the young boy says, "Thanks, Dad." And the father says, "No problem. Jimmy's winning matches." and you know, it is. He gets into your psyche, not just his own players, and we'll talk about all of that, but he has sort of electrified the whole championship. you know, he is and always has been a figure of fascination in Irish life. And, you know, it's extraordinarily exciting going to a match. I mean, even going to the Derry Donegal match, you know, going up in the 2-1-2 gold liner from Belfast. You know, the matchless sort of anticipation of it, wondering how it was all going to pan out, and, you know, thinking about, you know, how inadequate our managerial team was against Jimmy's and whether that could possibly be enough to make up the deficit, you know, between the two teams. I mean, he's simply extraordinary, and I genuinely have not been able to stop thinking about what he's doing in Donegal and how he conducts himself.
Why is it that he's? Because I from the outside, I kind of share that fascination, and, you know, I've read interviews with him. You know, I remember the famous Paul Kimmage interview with him a number of years ago, and, you know, the book he wrote with Keith Duggan. There is something about him that is endlessly fascinating. I imagine if you're caught up in the crossfire, he's not as fascinating, but he's somebody who has, like, whether it's through the tragedy he's had in his life or what, I don't know what it is, but there's something about him, and maybe you can explain what you think it is about him that is so compelling.
Well, you know, my reading of it from the outside was that the death of his brother had an enormous effect on him, because, you know, Jimmy was seen as and was, you know, seen as a talented, very talented footballer who would never fulfill his potential, you know, who was feckless, who you know, was experimenting with, you know, life and enjoying all the social sort of side of life, etc. And then after that, he, it seems to me, was ablaze internally with this feeling that he was not going to waste his life. You know, that I will not waste my life. You know, I will honor what has happened, this tragedy. And I will, you know, in my life, I will leave nothing behind. And, you know, from going to Limavady Tech to study, to do his exams all over again, to sort of moving into management. And, you know, taking the responsibility on himself, Jimmy didn't do what all these other managerial teams do, or the vast majority of them, you know, surround himself with a 30-man backroom team, or, you know, have joint managers, or, you know, have a whole group of people that he can collogue with on the sideline. Jimmy took this on himself. And he you know, he might not be a genius in footballing terms, you know, but he turned Gaelic football on its head, and it was ingenious what he did then. I mean, because he decided, well, why should we play man-to-man, etc. But what he is he's extremely logical and clear-minded, and that's enough to set himself apart from almost everyone else in the sort of the dreary GAA managerial cartel. And, like, I'll give you a good sort of snapshot. This year, on the 21st of February, Ryan Jones, who's the very, you know, outstanding Fermanagh midfielder, one of the best players in Ulster, he texted me and he said, look, Derry won't be far away. And I texted him back, very worried about Jimmy in the first round against us, you know, especially their ploy to go for the lobbed goal when the keeper comes to midfield for the kick out. That could kill us. And I'd been talking about this, as you know, we talked about this and was warning about this Derry's habit of playing a third midfielder. And, you know, I mean, it gave me no pleasure when after the match on Saturday evening, Ryan Jones texted me and he had a screenshot of our conversation, and he said, you were spot on, you know. I mean, before the game, my brother Prunches texted me and he said, what do you think, our boy? I said, I think we'll lose. And he said, why? I said, because Jimmy isn't confused. And Mickey Hart is confused. You know, and it's this that you know what's coming. You know, like just in 2014, the All-Ireland semi-final with Dublin, the team that couldn't be beaten, who were insisting on playing man-to-man and who had refused to go to the blanket defensive formation that they saw was destroying the game and destroying the entertainment value. I mean, I wrote that morning, you know, the nightmare is upon them. I remember saying to Brogan, the famous Dublin quarter forward, meeting him socially a few months before that and saying, you boys are in serious trouble. And he pissed himself laughing, you know, because Jimmy is a logician, and what he does all the time is what a manager's supposed to do. He tries to rig the game in his team's favour. You know, and when Donegal went out that day and proved to Dublin that Dublin couldn't defy the laws of physics, but it was more than that. It was that Jimmy supercharges the team and the players with this idea that, you know, we will do everything else right. We will be super fit. We leave nothing, you know, we leave nothing to chance there. We will do state of the art work on our own kick out, and we will repeat and repeat that we've got it right. You know, we will accentuate all our strengths. You know, each individual will improve. We will work individually on what you need to work on. You know, nutrition, everything is correct. And so, you know, the players come to be extremely reliant on Jimmy. You know, it's like any cult, I suppose. But, you know, in this case, a cult that works very, very well. You know, and then after that, Jimmy then has to persuade them to believe in him. You know, and the way that he did that in 2011 was to say to them, look, we're gonna break Tyrone and we're going to win Ulster. And here's how we're going to do it. And once the players saw that happening, he's even thinking, what the fuck? You know, at the start, they were stunned to hear these high-minded ambitions, you know, that no doubt they'd heard every other manager rehash. No, we are good enough to be the All-Ireland champions. You know, oh, fuck off, you know. But with Jimmy, when they saw it starting to come true, you could see the players, you know, who had been given all of the other equipment. When they saw that this guy was tactically bang on and his strategies were bang on, it's like, well, here we go, here we go. And a classic example of that was the Derry game. You know, the hottest possible favourites where, you know, Jimmy looks at it and he says, well, you know, we can't beat them in a 50-50 contest, you know. So, you know, we can do all the things that I always do. No fouling inside the scoring zone. Against Derry, they conceded one free from a very marginal high tackle. So one free in 80 minutes. Clever shadowing of the opponent onto the weak foot. Their super fitness, very clever kick-out press, hard running, and as Jimmy always puts it, purity of effort. Purity of effort. But none of that was going to be enough against us. You know, he needed to find a weakness. He needed something that could create goals, and more than one of them. And so, as I knew he would, he targeted our keeper midfielder. And, you know, after the first goal, actually early on in the game, one of the Donegal players didn't take on a lob when he should have. And it was the first time in the game that Jimmy roared, and he roared at him to take it on. 5 minutes later, they had the first goal. And it was like, you know, you might as well have given each of the Donegal players an adrenaline tablet. You could see them growing bigger. Oh, Jesus, here we go, here we go, here we go. You know, and when you trust your manager like that and you see it all starting to come true, you know.
But it's interesting you mentioned about being confused, you know, Mickey Hart being confused, because again, watching the highlights of that match and whatever about the tactic about bringing the goalkeeper into midfield, the one thing I saw in that was total panic when it started going wrong, especially from the keeper when he was caught out. And to me, that said, this is somebody who is kind of not so sure about this strategy at all, you know, because like, in some ways, the panic just made everything worse. Maybe a defender could have dropped back. Instead, you have the keeper, you know, pissing back to try and get back into the goal, making it just look, spreading panic. And it reminded me of when you used to see in soccer in the early days of goalkeepers and defenders trying to play it out from the back about 10 years ago. And they would be drawing players on. And if it went wrong, there was just a meltdown among players. And they just, there was this idea that this is never going to work. This is never going to work. But players became more confident. But again, in those early stages, people had no belief in what, or had limited belief in what they were doing. And when you contrast them, when you talk about what McGuinness has from his team, it seems to be a, you know, a 360 understanding of what they're trying to do rather than just do this thing.
It was a bit like, you know, everybody gasping at the audacity of Jose Mourinho when he appeared on the stage, you know. I mean, amazingly, and I've been harping on at this for 3-4 years, Uncle Jimmy returned to management. No manager. And they're all paid managers, you know, apart from the Dublin, Kerry, the usuals. No manager had ever thought of taking advantage of the fact that most teams now leave their net empty for the opposing kickout. An empty net. You know, 40 yards of emptiness to an empty goal. And, you know, now and again, we had a good chuckle as the keeper was embarrassed. But these were all isolated moments. Like, don't know if you remember first round of the championship this year, Cavan and Monaghan. Cavan caught Rory Began, who's always out of his nets. You know, for
Not remember, I didn't know about it in the first place.
Well, it was another Laurel and Hardy moment. I wouldn't expect anything less from a Southern Unionist. But, you know, and I say it sounds almost ridiculous to even say this sentence, but no manager, Uncle Jimmy, had realised the value of repeatedly kicking the ball into the opponent's empty net. You know, and I mean, when it started, I mean, the first goal was, you know, absolutely embarrassing. You know, the keeper's running back. Donegal catch him easily because they're kicking the long ball over the top. They're flicking it on. We have a relatively small midfield. But it was what it did. You know, it was such an adrenaline shot for Donegal. And then don't forget, Jimmy had told him, this will happen. This will happen. Do it. Back yourself. Don't half-heartedly do it. And they'd worked on it and worked on it and worked on it in training. And here it was unfolding just as their guru had promised, you know. And, I mean, after that first goal, which sent a chill around Celtic Park, you know, Jimmy was in our heads and he was in the players' heads, you know. And of course, you had Mickey Hart there on the sideline. I mean, it was quite extraordinary. And the glamorous brunette rang me after the first goal and said, Marty Morrissey on RT Radio has just said, can Mickey not see what everyone else can see? You know, because all it would have taken was a simple halftime instruction to the goalie, stay on your line.
But why didn't he do that?
Because he's an old style manager who picks the team, you know, and then after that, he leaves it with the team. I mean, Derry's tactical setup, Derry's excellence at this point in time when Mickey came in was due to the sort of the obsessive work of Jimmy's sidekick, Rory Gallagher. You know, I mean, you look at how everyone dances around this. I mean, it was a managerial catastrophe, all right? And I have no problem saying that. You know, I have no loyalty to Mickey Hart. I mean, Mickey Hart's a paid manager from Tyrone. You know, I mean, his work is performance related, or his pay certainly should be. You know, he should definitely be docked after that catastrophe. But like on the Sunday game, right? You know, there was Enda McGinley, who's Mickey's clubman, was on. This is the next night, you know, and as I said, he chose his words like an Iraqi hostage on a video message saying he was being really well treated. And when the three giveaway lob, the goals were shown, Enda said, Mickey will see that when he looks at it. You know, and as I said, like note to Enda, Stevie Wonder would have seen that. And, you know, here we are, you know, with all of this huge effort and the boys put in huge effort and they're all amateurs and this paid management team who couldn't see that all we needed to do was drop our keeper back onto the line. You know, by halftime, we had recovered our composure sufficiently to only be a point behind, you know, in a 15v15 man dur game of attrition. Derry were always going to win that, you know, but like, to be lobbed once, sort of to paraphrase Oscar Wilde, might be considered unfortunate. But to be lobbed three times begins to look like outright fucking disaster.
you know. And I mean, by the time the fourth goal went in, with Derry's goalie was a full 40 metres behind the score, the Donegal crowd were actually laughing. They were clapping their hands and laughing, you know. And you know, to sort of bring it back to Jimmy, you know, even Jimmy couldn't in his wildest dreams have expected that Derry would continue with this after the first goal, and certainly not after the second goal. You know, he mustn't have believed his luck, you know, but it was a brilliant coup. You know, it was a brilliant coup.
Tell me something now, because about a month ago after the league final when Derry beat Dublin, I was reading everybody saying, like, we're on the cusp of a new golden age. Like, this was a match that showed how Gaelic football should be played. And everyone, then when there's a defeat in the Ulster Championship, it seems that suddenly the Mickey Hart way is old hat. And,
well, it wasn't a Mickey Hart way. I mean, the thing about it is this, that Jimmy doesn't give a fuck what anybody thinks about how the game is played. Jimmy, you know, which is why Jimmy's teams, regardless of what happens, are always extremely competitive and are liable to beat anybody, because Jimmy approaches the thing with an absolutely clear mind. One of the things that Jimmy has done is to say, and this happened against Derry and Celtic Park very early on, it was clear that he was going to do this. The blanket defence has been loosening up. All right, teams have been trying to play more football, kick more football long. You know, they've been trying to open up and play with more adventure. They have, if you like, been going a bit more with the zeitgeist, with the public mood. You know, against Donegal, Jimmy played 15 men inside the 45. When they lost possession, they dropped back all of them, all 15 inside the 45, and went back to the old school blanket defence. Okay. Now, what made up for that and what allowed people to say, it was so exciting, was that a bit like Dublin in the 2014 semi-final, Derry played the third midfielder. So the vast excitement and the shock and the, you know, the people looking at each other in wonder came from Donegal's ambushing of Derry's sort of, it seems weird to even say this, goalkeeper midfielder. You know, so like, you know, that was what electrified the game. You know, if Derry had done, you know, what they should have done and left the keeper on the line, knowing that Jimmy was planning this, because they must, I mean, unless they didn't watch Donegal in the league, well, then what would have happened was it would have been a bit like Tyrone and Donegal at the weekend. It would have been a dour attritional game that would be decided by mistakes or whichever team has the slightly better forwards. And in that sort of game, Derry would almost certainly have won. I mean, Derry scored 17 points against Donegal in the first round, lost because they conceded four counter-attacking goals, three of them kicked into the empty net. So, you know, that audacity of Jimmy illustrates to you, and what happened illustrates to you that he's a part, because we have a very, very limited group of managers who are doing the sort of the managerial cartel in Ireland.
How much of a factor is it that he has been away, you know, been to China, been to America, went to Celtic, has exposed himself to different ideas, and, you know, and like going to work in China, is it like, yeah, that is a big, you know, it's a big challenge. Yeah. It's a big, and I remember at that time getting contacted, because he was assistant to a German manager. And I remember a couple of agents I knew in England being on to me, because everyone wanted to get to China. And a guy I know was on to me saying, did I have any contact with Jim McGuinness? Because I wanted to get a player there. And I got in touch with somebody I knew who knew Jim McGuinness. And they were like, Jim's not going to get involved in any of that stuff. He's going to be there solely focused on doing his job. He's not going to be taking calls from agents about players. That's not his kind of business.
He doesn't care about that, you know. I got a phone call from a Donegal friend of mine from Glenn Swilly after the match, and he says, you predicted that, Brawley, but you also predicted that Jimmy would manage Barcelona someday.
the Dully gold medal said, put your feet back on the ground, which I actually did whenever he had moved from, you know, his extraordinary 2012 triumph. He had moved into soccer then, because I thought, you know, he's brilliant with people and all that. But I think what I didn't factor in was the fact that, you know, that professional mindset, professional soccer player mindset is extremely different from, you know, what Jimmy requires, which is that boys bleed for the Donegal cause. And you know, the fact that these, you know, cosseted professionals require very, very different handling than what Jimmy was used to. You know, I mean, his time with Charlotte in the American Soccer League was a disaster. And I have
it's also a hugely competitive world as well. Like, it's
you know, my reading on that was Jimmy's got such an extraordinary personality and so talismanic, you know, and so committed to learning, you know, and so obsessive about each player learning, and has a terrific understanding of strategy and tactics. My reading of that was, look, that will all come together. He'll very quickly adapt to that world. But it is such a different world than the GAA world, you know, than I mean, in Jimmy's case, you know, he's just so pure Donegal.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Flimsy stands slowing you down? Well, it's time to upgrade. Armadillo builds durable, North American-made tablet stands and kiosks. We're so confident, we offer a lifetime warranty. So, elevate your business and visit armadillo.com. That's ArmOdillo.com and use code ACAST for 5% off. Armadillo. Built to last. Designed to impress.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Like, one of the great things about him, you know, is the, I don't know if you saw him being interviewed after the Tyrone game on Sunday, you know. So that game, Tyrone did the right thing tactically. You know, they played in exactly the same way as Donegal. They kept the keeper in goals. Niall Morgan was ultra careful, you know. And ultimately, it came down to mistakes. You know, Tyrone made a very bad mistake with a minute to go in ordinary time. The young wing back soloed into traffic and was turned over. Donegal got their equaliser. And then in extra time, the game was really over. It was inevitable from that moment on. But after the game, I don't know if you saw Jimmy being interviewed. He was out on the pitch and he spoke brilliantly about the children of Donegal. You know, the fact that the boys were doing something that was much bigger than themselves. You know, that they were playing for Donegal and for their community. And the importance of Gaelic football to the Donegal community, and how his hope always was that the county team would inspire, you know, the children of Donegal, you know, to continue to take part in this great GA community that we all love, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And never taking any credit himself, always speaking about Donegal and that sort of, you know, GAA ideal, if you like, you know. And I mean, the thought struck me, like, unlike sort of Mickey Hart, you know, who was
rocks. I mean, you might as well have been super glued to the Sam Maguire whenever Tyrone had it. I mean, Jesus, Mickey. I mean, like, Mickey was coming in the front of the bus with it in his lap, like, oh, Mickey getting off the bus. Mickey walking up the street. Mickey was saying, Jesus, you could, I mean, honestly. It was like trying to fucking get into a photograph in front of Michael Ring, you know. I mean, he was absolutely super glued to it, you know. And unlike Hart, you know, Donegal football has never been about Jimmy. You know, you saw that as soon as his tenure was over, Jimmy melted into the background, you know, helped out in any way that he could with his club, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, that part of him also is a very important thing to understand when you try to analyze why he's so successful with Gaelic teams but struggled with soccer teams. You know, I mean, the analogy I think of about Jimmy when I watch his teams, you know, is, I don't know if you ever saw the famous episode of Columbo where the eminent psychiatrist trains two Dobermans to kill when the word Rosebud is said in their presence. You know, and otherwise these Dobermans are very docile and friendly. But on the word Rosebud, they tear out the throat of the victim, you know. Hmm. And the Donegal teams under Jimmy are a bit like that, you know. I mean, the Derry match, every time they sense right, we have a ball and the keeper's out of goals. Like, it was like they just, like, it was all of them thinking like one, you know. It was like one psyche, you know, with everybody absolutely tearing into that possibility. And I don't know, I mean, you didn't watch the Tyrone Donegal match, but once in that 100 minutes, there was the slim possibility of a lob goal. You know, for once, Niall Morgan was caught out of his goals. Donegal intercepted it. And, you know, that sort of Dr. Pavlov programming of the Donegal players, as soon as they sensed it, the crowd were electrified. The Donegal boys together went for it. You know, the ball was kicked over. The crowd went absolutely wild. And it took a desperate covering tackle from Hamsey, the Tyrone's all-star fullback, to save the day. You know, and this is why people go to watch Donegal when Jimmy's managing them. You know, with this, like, as a Derry man, I sat there in fear, but also in excitement and admiration watching them. You know, I mean, like, his ambush of us was a triumph, all right? Like, we were suffering. Like, I sit beside Ian de Gormley, you know, one of the great Derry footballers and really the guy who created the foundation of the Waddy Grahams, Mahara. You know, he trained all those kids. He coached them the right way. He created the four minor teams that won four successive Ulster Minor Club Championships. No one had ever won two, you know. And then that was handed on to Malik O'Rourke when he came in to take the seniors, you know, and then now they're the best, the premier sort of club team in Ireland. But Gormley was sitting beside me, you know, and as I was rabbiting on, you know, at the start about thinking we were in trouble and, you know, he said, you're so fucking negative, Broly. Would you go and sit somewhere? Would you go and sit somewhere else? For
I know. I like this guy. I like the sound of this fella.
You know, like, and at half time when they'd got it back to a point, you know, and it looked as if England was, you know, was going to be all right, but no instruction had been given. You know, Gormley said, as the halftime whistle went and Derry came in upon him, I said to Gormley, we are fucked, right? And he says to me, oh, jeez, would you shut your fucking mouth? You know, like you know, the things that you find yourself experiencing watching that game, I mean, I had really plum tickets. Brian McAvoy, the Ulster secretary, had arranged for me to get two really, really terrific tickets, you know. And so I was sitting right in the middle on the midline behind, you know, where I could see Mickey Hart standing on my left and Jimmy standing on his own on my right. Jimmy never consulted with anybody else. He stood there the whole match on his own, you know. And after the first goal had gone in, right, and it was clear Donegal were trying it, right, and then the second goal went in, I started shouting, right. I was waiting until there was a bit of silence. Mickey! Mickey! Right, and all the crowd were looking. You can imagine what it's like Gormley's going off for fuck's sake. Mickey! They're kicking the ball into the empty net. Mickey!
Maggie!
He wasn't going to turn around.
But, he was really wasn't going to turn around.
But yeah, but that was what the occasion was like. It was like, it was mental. It was like, this is all happening. He's actually doing this now, Mickey. Now you need to respond. And it's not really a complicated response. You drop your keeper back at the nets and you tell your halfbacks to drop off on the opposing kickout so that we don't get caught, because they're never going to be able to score enough other ways to beat us. No. And you find yourself heightened emotionally when you're watching Donegal, when Jimmy's managing them, you know. And you could even see that, you could see that again when they played Tyrone. Again, Tyrone changed the whole dynamic. They did what Derry should have done, and they mirrored Jimmy's back blanket defence. You know, the difference in that game was they just didn't have Donegal's sense of purpose, you know. Or as but I put it, they didn't have Jimmy McGuinness. You know, so
you sound like Donegal a fan. Were tight. I remember seeing a podcast a few months ago, and this is when you were talking about Jim McGuinness being back in the dark destroyer of Gaelic football. And it sounds like, you know, everyone should do whatever they can to go and watch Jim McGuinness as Donegal playing Gaelic football.
No, there are two contradictory things, you know. And the first thing is, you know, as I always said, you know, I was asked to participate, and I was delighted to, in a documentary that was made about their amazing 2012 All-Ireland, you know. What Jimmy had done then was absolutely incredible, way beyond anything that he's done now, because, I mean, he had to start from absolutely scratch, you know, a team that was being beaten by 18 and 15 points in championship match and qualifiers, you know. And within a year, they almost won an All-Ireland semi-final, and within sort of 18 months, they were the All-Ireland champions. But there are two contradictory things. One is, you know, the ingenious game plan and the ingenious work that he undoubtedly does to create these victories, to create these triumphs for his team. But the other thing was, in relation to the 2011-2012, that he substantially destroyed the entertainment value of Gaelic football for a generation. Because what happened was teams all started to play the blanket defence. So, you know, Gaelic football at many levels, except at the very highest level now, is virtually unwatchable. You know, games, club games that used to have 500 people at them, maybe 12 people at them now, you know. So there's that dichotomy with Jimmy, you know. And what he's done in the Derry game, for example, if Derry had just gone out and done exactly what Donegal were doing, played everybody behind, played their counter-attacking game, you might have had a 14-13 scoreline, and people would have said it was a really dour game, very tense in the last 10 minutes, you know, but a million miles away from the entertainment value of Gaelic football before Jimmy came along. But the fact that the entertainment value of the game has largely been destroyed cannot take away from the brilliant personal achievements of Jimmy and doing what he does, you know. And I mean, I was thinking an awful lot about this, you know, because he really is very admirable, and he's really, really hard not to admire, you know. And when I was coming away from the Derry Donegal game, and myself and Fergal McCusker and Enda Gormley were meeting up with some of the Donegal greats, the great Tony Boyle, one of the greatest ever Donegal forwards. We were all in the park bar, everybody mixing together as we do in Gaelic football, not like your lot, or like, you know, oh, I'll have you cunts, and, you know, well, and trying to attack each other, and, you know, police on horses separating them, you know, and, you know, the Glasgow Rangers fans and Celtic fans wanting to, you know, attack each other with batons and stuff. And chains.
I suppose it's just jawbreaker from some member of a panel or something.
Yeah, exes screwing your wife, screwing your wife, screwing, you know, all that lovely stuff, you know, singing joyous songs about Hillsborough and stuff like that. Anyway, we don't do that in Gaelic football. So in our game, you know, we're together in the bar afterwards, and I said to Tony Boyle, you know, And, you know, Tony came into the park bar before and he says, "Ach, no, it's great to meet you boys here today. It's lovely to come and watch the future All-Ireland champions, Derry." You know, he says, we'll be hoping now to get within 9 or 10 points of you today, you know, all that other stuff. Anyway, afterwards I said to Tony, like, you know, it's wild hard not to feel jealous of the Donegal players, you know, jealous of the great adventure they're on now, you know, jealous of the fact that they have such an inspiring, absolutely committed leader, you know, jealous of the life lessons they're learning, you know. And then you look at his background team, you know, Colin McFadden, I mean, a guy who, he's Jimmy's brother-in-law, but he was a loser. He was going absolutely nowhere with his football career. And then Jimmy came in and all of a sudden, Colin McFadden, under Jimmy's absolutely merciless tutelage, you know, psychological and physical, Colin McFadden became the best finisher in the country, you know, all-star, all-Ireland winner. Neil McGee, another man in his background team, you know, his whole background team exuding Donegalness, you know, and I was jealous at that Donegalness, you know, the integrity of it, their loyalty and togetherness, you know, and a journey, as I said to Tony, whose purpose is the only important one, the good of the people of Donegal, you know. And then I thought of Mickey Hart. Fuck me.
The thing about McGuinness is, and when you come back to that sense of personality and charisma and drive that he has, and I don't think you can separate that in a way from the events that have shaped him in his life. And reading about him before this podcast and thinking about him, and I'm sure he's read the book, The Talent Code, because there's an amazing passage in The Talent Code which talks about a research done by a psychologist called Martin Eisenstadt, who tracked the parental history of everybody in the of every person with a half page entry in the Encyclopedia Britannica, and what he discovered as is put in the Talent Code, that the parental loss club within people of success turned out to be standing room only. People who lost a parent early in life, including Julius Caesar, Napoleon, 15 British prime ministers, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Lenin, Hitler, Gandhi, Stalin, Bill Clinton, Copernicus, Isaac Newton, Darwin, Dante, there's an incredible list. And as is put in the Talent Code, it says, losing a parent is a primal cue. You are not safe. You don't have to be a psychologist to appreciate the massive outpouring of energy that can be created by a lack of safety. And when you read Paul Kimmage's interview with Jim McGuinness, he says something very, very, he said about the loss of his brother, it said, it made me a vulnerable person, and that you carry that with you. And that never leaves you. And that sense of vulnerability, again, that line, you are not safe, how you channel that, what that does to you as a person. And without, you know, you look at somebody, you look at the energy he brings to it, you look at the focus he brings to it, and you do look at somebody who has been shaped by these desperately tragic events in his life.
I agree. It left a huge sort of a huge hole that couldn't be filled by a notion. And, you know, Jimmy has distinguished himself with his commitment to excellence, you know, to his absolutely relentless pursuit of the best, you know, for his team, for himself, you know, for the people of Donegal. And for that, you know, I make no apologies for Jimmy's winning matches, Jimmy's winning camps, Jimmy's going to win the Sam. I mean, they may not win the Sam Maguire again. They probably won't. But, I mean, what thrills and spills there are going to be along the way. And any manager who's not up to it, he's going to fuck them royal. starting with Kieran McGeaney in the Ulster final. BTW.
Well, I have an uncle who moved from Tralee to Donegal a long time ago, and he is now a passionate, he's been there for 50 years and he's now a passionate Donegal fan, so he will be part of that army. And before we go, Joe, I'm just going to say in the spirit of the all cross community sport and the way we love, Jim McGuinness has gone from soccer to Gaelic football and has been enriched by both of them. And we love all sports here and what they can do. You're undercutting the point I'm going to make now, which is that we are, as you know, we're sponsoring a pitch at the Dundalk United Mini Champions League this weekend, and it's going to be a great event. Shared on the pitches, shared by Coola, are owned by Coola and Dundalk United. So it is a great cross sporting weekend. Coola allow Dundalk United to use their pitches for this weekend, and Dundalk United let Coola use their pitches when they have their mini All Ireland. And it shows what you should do in sport in this country. We're sponsoring one of the pitches, a Free State pitch there that the kids are going to be playing. 400 kids playing over the bank holiday weekend, and I don't know what the rules of the game will be on the Free State pitch, but I will report back.
And also in Donegal, I mean, there's such a huge tradition of soccer. All those boys, would be playing soccer for their wee clubs. And I don't know if any of our listeners haven't had a chance to see it, but there's a most wonderful documentary on amateur soccer in Donegal.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Flimsy staying slowing you down? Well, it's time to upgrade. Armadillo builds durable, North American-made tablet stands and kiosks. We're so confident, we offer a lifetime warranty. So, elevate your business and visit armadillo.com. That's armodillo.com and use code ACAST for 5% off. Armadillo, built to last, designed to impress.
That was made by a Scandinavian filmmaker. And if you haven't had a chance to see it, you should watch it, because it is the purest sort of pleasure, and as Dion rightly says, it illustrates the beauty of community and people getting together to play sports and the very special quality that has.
Thanks, Joe, and thanks everyone for listening.
Jimmy's winning matches. Jimmy's winning games. Jimmy's going to
excellent.
Tell our home again.